Someone kidnapped Ashley Judd, but don't worry, Morgan Freeman is here to help. That noise you just heard was someone at the TNT network having an orgasm at that description. It's called Kiss the Girls, and it was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America. The number one movie in America. The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
The number one.
The number one movie in America.
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 It is the number one movie in America, episode 3. I'm joined here by Aaron Kleiber, Camila Adams, Robin Hitchcock. You know, we may be divergent, but we're dauntless in our pursuit of criticism. I don't know. It was easier with Sharky's Machine.
I agree with Camila's Skeletor slash
Aunt Ethel.
He-Man.
Snarf.
He-Man will be defeated.
No, Divergent was fun. The thing I liked about the fact that we did Divergent is now that we know when we get a really bad movie,
we can still have a fun
we
episode.
Should right. still go with it.
And also when we get one of their sequels, we can veto that.
Yeah, no, I'm not watching this movie.
I do want to get on the record, though, that we 100% changed our veto rules between episode 1 and 2 without real. You just changed it.
What did I change?
It was one. That's one veto per calendar year, and then now it's, in the second episode, you're like, it's two vetoes per calendar year, which I'm cool with.
Okay, yeah, I feel better about that. Because we don't know what's going to happen.
Right. After this episode is whatever the fuck we want to do.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm glad that the second random draw in podcast history was Kiss the Girls. That's something different.
Oh, so good.
It happened.
Three episodes in, I still feel good about this.
Oh, yeah.
Not only are we a 66.7% Ashley Judd focused podcast, mm-hmm, also Camila's boyfriend, Tony Goldwyn.
Yes. I was very happy to.
Well, who's that?
Tony Goldwyn. He was the gentleman caller.
Oh, yeah. Has he been in more than one of these movies?
He was in Divergent. He was the dad in Divergent.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And also, most importantly, President Fitzgerald Grant from Scandal.
Oh, Scandal. Yeah. Right.
And the bad guy in Ghost.
That man has a very distinctive walk. And I noticed him in this when he popped up immediately. I was like, is that Tony Goldwyn? Sashaying down the street like that.
While we're shouting out actors in the movie, Bill Nunn from Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Pittsburgh legend.
Rest
in peace, he's dead. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We like to lead off sometime in the first 5 minutes.
Don't forget Billy Blanks.
Right?
Yeah, also, go ahead, Sean, and then we'll talk about that stupid-ass motherfucking kickboxing gene.
Okay, yeah, that was
it. It was very 1997. We need to do this in order.
We need to give the plot of the film.
It's like a ladies' health drink commercial.
This week's contestant on the 60-second recap is Camila Adams with her first 60-second recap.
All right.
Robin, I understand you've brought some sort of
fancy device to tell the time.
It's your phone?
Mobile telephone.
Okay, it's your phone. And now, if you're ready, Robin, Camila, please recap the plot of Kiss the Girls in 60 seconds or less.
Morgan Freeman stars as Alex Cross, a DC forensic psychologist detective who comes to North Carolina to find his niece, but stumbles upon a large case of missing women who have been abducted by a man who calls himself Casanova and for some reason wasn't played by Billy Zane.
That's it?
Period.
That was 16 seconds.
I told you.
Wait a second.
That covers it. That
covers it, man.
I thought the game was like you just wing it. She wrote a thesis statement that was wonderful.
No, you didn't think that was the game. You just didn't write anything.
Okay, this is accurate.
Okay, yeah.
Exactly.
No, that about covers it. And I don't know how far we'll get. We'll spoil the whole thing because
it came out 20 years ago.
Because it came out 22 years ago.
It came out 22 years ago when Morgan Freeman was 60.
He looked good for 60.
Do that, man.
I thought he was 43, 44.
Did you notice
44?
The moment when Ashley Judd was like rubbing down his muscles a little bit?
Dude, like every look that he gives her in this movie is like, girl, don't go falling in love with me.
Is she falling in love with him? I couldn't quite figure that out. Because like when she, at the end, she says like, I'm making you dinner. And I was like, this is very romantic
to me. See, I feel like if he were white, If Alex Cross were white or if Ashley Judd were black, there would most definitely have been a romance happening.
Do you also think the age gap, too, they were just like,
No, because, again, if he were white, and you know, they would have totally, because they do that all the time.
Yeah, right.
Like,
no,
you
know, one, yeah, no one cares about age gaps. Right, exactly.
As long as the man is older.
I would argue that when your villains are Casanova and the Gentleman Caller, and they think of themselves as lovers, then if you put in an actual love plot, it's weird.
Really?
That's why.
Because I kind of feel like this. I mean, I love the fact that there wasn't one in this movie because they just usually muck up the whole storytelling, and that's why that was one of the things that makes this movie so damn great is that they didn't try to mess around with that. But yeah, like I feel like a lot of times, a lot of filmmakers they force that love story in there.
I 100% agree. I like how they did not use a love story to propel the third act.
Right.
Well, then like I must rescue her now.
Right. I'm in love with her. No.
Like, but I mean, that is what happened. Minus love.
No, absolutely. But they're pushing on like we're doing this to like do this like for the good of humanity.
Right.
Like we need to stop these guys.
I think that it would have been okay. Or obviously, it's okay. I think it would have been better if he had a wife.
Or
a girlfriend.
Right.
I like that it was his niece and not his daughter. That was nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that this movie, like within the first 10 minutes, passes the race Bechdel test.
Oh, nice. Because with him and Bill Nunn.
Yeah, him and Bill Nunn and the whole family just sitting there talking about, what's her name? What's his niece's name?
Naomi.
Yeah. Yes. And does
shouting to one another what their names are count as passing the Bechdel test? Does that... we will have more complaints and maybe compliments about Kiss the Girls in a moment. Congratulations to Camila for setting the record, the time to beat, at the What Was the Point Again segment. But now,
I ain't never gonna be that.
Our segment, yes, this went to number one. That's just where I read the research I wrote, which is how I spoiled the movie for myself. I'll get into that.
Aww.
Kiss the Girls. Released October 3rd, 1997, the 28th number one film of the year. It won the weekend with $13.2 million. It won easily. Second weekend.
Not a lot of money.
In second place was the second weekend of Soul Food with $8.3 million. Other new releases that week included U-Turn with Sean Penn and Jennifer Lopez.
I was so hyped about that movie.
So blunt.
Debuted in eighth place. And poor Janine Garofalo's The Matchmaker debuted in 11th, never even made the top 10.
I don't think I've heard of that movie.
It's like in
Ireland, I think.
It did repeat at number one the fall. It was in Ireland. Next weekend, Kiss the Girls was number one again. It won by $1 million over the debut of 7 Years in Tibet, which never made it to number one.
Surprise.
Kiss the Girls would be ousted from the top spot in its third weekend by I Know What You Did Last Summer. That weekend, Kiss the Girls fell to number three behind another debut. Robin, which debuting Charlize Theron movie?
Devil's Advocate.
Nice.
Was number
really
two.
Really good movie.
In its debut weekend.
Horrifying.
Kiss the Girls stayed in the top 10 for 5 weeks, finished with $60.5 million, be followed in 2001 by Along Came a Spider, which made more money, never went to number one. And in 2013, the series reboot, Alex Cross, Tyler Perry taking over from Morgan Freeman.
So bad.
So
well,
bad.
Who the fuck so was like, yeah, bad. Tyler Perry, he can pull that off.
No, here's the thing. I actually like Tyler Perry in more serious roles. I mean...
It was good in Gone Girl.
He's okay. There's something there. Yeah. And I was excited because I think that this is an interesting character. This is like, I like little crime thriller movies. Mm. It's like an easy genre for me. But that movie is an abomination.
Well, now, was it just really a bad reboot of the series or a reboot of Kiss the Girls?
No, it's based on a different James Patterson book, which was, I think, meant to be kind of a reboot of his book series, but I am 100% making that up.
No, they wanted to make a long Alex Cross series starring Tyler Perry.
Right.
That movie bombed and they didn't do that.
In that movie, he does have a wife. She gets murdered.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Motivation.
I never looked this up before. Kiss the Girls was never the number one book in America. The
really?
Book did not go to number one.
Interesting.
This movie did make me want to go read the book.
Maybe because people weren't into super crime back then.
I have read this book, and I read it back when this movie came out, and each chapter is like 2 pages long.
Yeah. Hmm. No, I remember that about his books.
Yeah.
Number ones that year include Bridges of Madison County, The Horse Whisperer, John Grisham's The Rainmaker, and Michael Crichton's
90s.
The Lost World, where he wrote a sequel to Jurassic Park so they could fast-track a movie sequel.
Oh, wow.
And then they ignored the plot of that book and made up their
own
anyway.
Correct.
had no idea.
Books, brutal.
Books better. And
the
finally,
the late 90s had a lot of crappy sap movies.
And
like, what is you? I was like, ugh, whatever.
This was when what's his name? Nicholas Sparks was getting started.
Bubble. No, that was later.
He was like,
I just remember.
He's talking about movies. You're talking about books.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I'm talking about movies in the late 90s when I was in high school. Like it was, there was not a lot of good stuff in the late 90s.
No, the first Nicholas Sparks movie is like 98.
Which one's that?
Message in a bottle.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with a word before we go on a bit on the career of Morgan Freeman. This is a number one movie. It was a success. It is the 29th highest grossing film of Morgan Freeman's career.
Wow.
Because that's how many movies is. He has been in 16 movies that made more than $100 million.
Wow.
Top five.
Glory one of them?
No. The top five are Dark Knight Rises, Lego Movie, Bruce Almighty, and Batman Begins.
See, I'd be interested to know what the top grossing Morgan Freeman vehicle is.
Yeah, because that's usually when you hear like, oh, this actor has grossed over $1 billion, and they were like, they did one voice in Cars. You're like, well, of course they did.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were like, did you know that they played a Jedi Knight in this scene? And it's like, that's like, why they got, you know,
right,
half
like
a billion.
Does Daniel Craig get the money from The Force Awakens in his box office total? That's not fair. Right. Cheating, Daniel Craig.
Stop me when you feel. So that was the top five. Stop me when you feel it's a Morgan Freeman vehicle. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
No. Vehicle or like main character?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Deep Impact?
No.
Wanted?
I don't remember.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie?
A little bit.
Lucy, that's a Scarlett Johansson. Uh-uh. Some of All Fears?
No.
Now You See Me? Driving Miss Daisy.
Sort of. Driving Miss Daisy, absolutely.
Yeah, most definitely.
He got nominated for an Oscar for that.
Then it's Unforgiven, Million Dollar Baby. Evan
Million
Almighty.
Dollar Baby probably was
yes,
one.
Million Dollar Baby for sure.
Which he did win an Oscar for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, he does well for himself.
Yes.
Does very, very well.
I also want to say, I know that when we drew this, I think we had a conversation about how he got Me Too'd, and we were like, what was the severity of it? And it was like butt pinching, right?
Yes, yeah. I think that's what
that's
we
okay. Right.
So, you know, listener, you decide how much you want to throw him in the trash heap of history.
Right.
I like that. We'll let you decide because this one's not worth fighting.
Yeah. So you guys get to decide with Morgan Freeman.
Where Morgan Freeman is on that scale. Right. And again, what I've always said, however you feel is fine.
Right.
If you in your heart feel like, oh, you still can be like a fan of a Morgan Freeman movie or anybody other than the extreme end of that scale, go ahead. Do what you want to do. It's okay. You're
I will
allowed.
Say it did change my viewing of this film because so when we pulled it last week, if you listen to that episode, we all were like, yeah, awesome. Right. And then Aaron said, like, guys, we all saw this when we were teenagers. It might be bad. Mm-hmm. And I do think it held up. I enjoyed watching this movie.
I definitely think it held up. But kind of also, I'm sorry, the Me Too, to bring it back to that, this was the movie that Ashley Judd was filming when she was assaulted.
Yes.
By Harvey
Weinstein.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. So.
No, that was on my mind watching it because I knew that. And you see what a star she is in this movie. And that makes you like there's
Why
so many people that you don't
career?
Don't notice. Oh, they haven't done a movie lately.
Right.
But looking at her now and in the movie she was making in the late 90s, it's how did she not continue? Mm-hmm. And that kind of does cast a little shadow over Kiss the Girl.
I looked into that just seeing, I was like, how old is Morgan Freeman? He was 60 years old. She was 31. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered the Harvey Weinstein thing. And then I look in the 2000s and she kind of
it was like
grabbed
nothing.
Some paychecks.
Gotcha.
Was not doing big projects. And I was like, well,
You know why now.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my. Yeah. That's why I was trying to figure out those years too.
Yeah. So but this definitely did hold up.
What I was going to say is that I feel like what makes this movie, one of the things that makes this movie so good is that Morgan Freeman is an incredible leading man, right?
He
just has this like goodness to him that makes you care about what's going on.
Yeah.
And you just like, he just has that gravitas or whatever that can carry a movie like this. And so I kept having this feeling of like, he just seems like a decent, upright person. And then so having this Me Too shadow cast over Morgan Freeman did almost twinged it. That's the exact right thing. Because it didn't quite break it for me. But
it's an
twinged
asterisk.
It.
It's an asterisk.
Yeah.
And we're watching a movie about like
rape and abduction.
Yeah, creepy killers are saying, I love you very much.
Right.
Like,
and they
love
me
is
too.
Weird. Yeah.
No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
He reminded me of either like a cowboy from the old
kind of like that very take charge kind of cowboy kind of attitude, or that very noir detective kind of.
But like the quiet cowboy, the Gary Cooper
Yes.
Like that first scene where he talks the wife out
such
of
a good scene.
Killing herself, oh my God. That's really good.
It's so good. And I was like, just kind of, the woman who played whoever she was, I was just kind of like wondering, like, how come she didn't go on to have like a bigger career? Because I was really, I was into
She's
what she
like
was
rubbing
doing.
Rubbing a gun on her face and like, she was in. I was like, who is she?
Right.
Yeah, really good.
So in preparing, I do like some minimal research often before I see the movie. And so loading anything, it was like, Cary Elwes plays Casanova. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, that sucks.
But then he
I'd forgotten.
Then he showed up and I was like, if I didn't know it was him, I think I know it was him. Right?
A little bit.
So I remember when I first saw this movie, I was convinced that his best friend guy, the guy who looks like a rooster.
Okay.
The actor's name is, I think, J.O. Sanders. He looks like a rooster.
Who's best friend?
White guy with curly hair. He's like Alex's friend in the South.
Oh, that big guy. Right. Oh, he does.
Oh, yes.
I was sure he was secretly
really?
The bad guy.
I thought it was Sykes.
Who's Sykes?
Not Cary Elwes. The other detective.
The kind of creepy guy.
Yeah.
I think they try to make you think
that. Yes, he was a red herring, I'm sure. Because he just, like, everything was a stupid, shit-eating grin. I just wanted to punch him in his mouth. It's like,
but you know somebody is bad.
Well, and here's what... So, you knew it wasn't just going to be your boyfriend, the gentleman caller. Like, you knew... What's his name?
Because they set it up so killers,
right? Yeah, Tony Goldwyn.
Like, for a while, the movie is acting like it's just him.
Right.
And you know that's not going to be it. You know it's not going to be Dr. Red Herring who he meets at the pool.
Right.
Goes in and it's like, it's you, right? I'm the creepiest asshole in the world, but it's
terrible.
Not me.
Yeah, that was very Law & Order SVU suspect.
Robin, you called pause.
It has to be two people because they're emailing each other.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Because we did see that.
I don't know.
Moment. We saw the moment where he's like sending something. But at that point, I wasn't sure if it was like, oh, okay, these girls are up for bid. Or however you want to do it. Yeah.
Yes. I thought, or like, is he selling them?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And I love Cary Elwes. I think he's great. I think
is
he's
it
very.
Because I've heard people say use.
No, I'm going to have to. No.
Do you know that for sure?
No. But I know it's not.
No, like, I've heard people correct
if
me.
If his name is
like,
Cary Hughes, then he needs to be Cary Smith or something.
Yeah,
right.
There's a lot of names that people say, and they're like, there's no...
I've seen him on enough, like, talk shows and stuff, and people...
Oh, okay.
I've heard enough people introduce him, and never once has he ever, like, corrected anybody
that
says, hey,
we
Hughes.
Can go on the internet right now and find out.
I know, that's why I'm asking.
Right.
No, I think I really like watching him as an actor. In this one,
he's good.
He was just so, like... Smarmy, I'm just a southern dumb guy.
Right.
You don't need to be suspicious of me the whole time. That's like, if I hadn't been spoiled on this, I'd be like, it's him.
Well,
it's
what's funny is that, like, my husband walked in as they were all talking, like, all the southern guys, and he was like, why is he using such a terrible southern accent? And I was like,
because he's
I don't know.
Faking it.
And I tried to be like, well, this guy's not from there. This one's from blah, blah, blah. But then, like, when we get to the end, we find out who it is, and then he, like, slowly drops his accent, which that was a great reveal. Like,
God,
when he's in the kitchen.
Is so good.
It is very good.
This movie, like, I think this is a really good crime thriller, and then that scene takes it up to, like, this is great.
Right, exactly.
That when she says, hand me the big chopping knife, I just was like, I love this movie.
Yes, so like when he finally drops it, and all this time we've been hearing Casanova talk to these girls and all that stuff. That is not, I'm going to say, that's not Cary Elwes talking.
Oh, no, it's not. I looked that up.
Who is it?
Is it Billy Zane?
It's Tony Goldwyn.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's Tony Goldwyn talking about?
Yeah.
He's
interesting.
Got that.
That's weird narratively.
It is weird.
Voice. Yeah.
I mean, I guess like the beginning when he talks about, you know, the first two girls he killed and he lived in their attic. I mean, I guess that's what he's about.
From the ever-useful IMDb trivia, whenever Casanova speaks from the shadows, as well as in the opening credits, it is Tony Goldwyn's voice being heard. Goldwyn's voice was used to throw the audience off the trail, so the unveiling of the real killer at the end would be more of a surprise. Goldwyn's Casanova voice is easily distinguishable from Cary Elwes' affected Casanova voice, which Ruskin uses as he is revealed as the real killer at the film's close. As a result, when Rudolph is shouting at the hidden Casanova, Tony Goldwyn is essentially arguing with himself.
Interesting.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's another thing that I do love about like thrillers like this, when they wait. They don't tell the audience who the person is. Like, we don't see their face, like, you know, Seven. Like that, that thing, that fucking blew my mind.
Yeah.
So this is just another,
This movie was so good.
So something we talked about in Seven is sort of a counterexample, but something that we talked about before we started recording is how, like, this was a little bit boundary pushing when it came to, like, mm-hmm. gross, true, crimey realness, mm-hmm. grittiness. Like, right. at the time, I mean, I was a teenager, so maybe I was just easily shocked, but I remember being, like, very, like, wow, like, they're just putting it right out there that this guy is raping all these women.
Right.
Mm. I don't use this word often, but I kind of understand this word. I was a little triggered by mm-hmm. the violence okay. on the women in it, because all I've been watching is real true crime.
Yeah. Right.
And I just finished Ted Bundy tapes.
Oh, God.
So then I'm watching, I'm now disturbed by things that look that real.
Yeah.
Like, where I'm just like, I don't want to see this.
It's
like,
pretty
this
gross.
No, and because you think, if you're like, this happens to real people.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's the same way that, like, I cringe at some historical, you know, like, Holocaust, slavery, like, mm-hmm. you're just like, this really happened,
right.
and I can't believe it. And now I'm starting, that violence against women now is starting to, like, really, you know, there's so much you. True crime stuff where I'm like, yeah, I don't want to think about this.
Okay, but right. I still love it.
No,
right,
no,
yeah, yeah, totally. Like, it's,
no, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, not that I'm sitting here trying to put a feather in my cap. I'm just like, you know,
right.
yeah, I notice it now a little bit more because of so much true crime podcasts and these documentaries all over Netflix nonstop that we can't stop watching at midnight, which is insane. Like, God's sakes, I'm here. Like, I'm literally.
I was listening to, like, the podcast about the Zodiac Killer on the way here.
God. Oh, that's really good. That's oh, really
I went to
good. Monster,
I went to bed the last week by the words of Ted Bundy.
Oh, my God.
Like, yeah. Like, Ted Bundy's, like, talking about stuff. And then I'm like, okay, turning the TV off. And now I have to go to sleep. Super. I have to, like.
I have to go watch Aladdin.
Yeah, really. I'm like. I literally. You know what I did the one night? I literally, on YouTube, just was like, and I'm just gonna watch what was it, like, Kid Fails. I was like, I'm gonna watch kids getting broke on the monkey bars. Now I'm ready to go to bed.
Well, I think, like,
but
it's
Aaron,
like, to that
children break their arms
I
on the
know.
Oh
my
God. But no,
and like, then they get a Sega Genesis. That's yeah, what happened yeah. when I broke my arm as a child.
No,
it works out.
But no, Robin's right. Like, this was kind of a precursor of really getting into gritty true crime films, because yeah. a lot of them are just.
Well, I think, like, Virginia, they didn't show this movie. They didn't premiere it because
there were three girls missing.
Yeah. So,
what?
Yeah, because it just seemed like in poor taste to the families.
At the time, there were three girls missing in Virginia, and so it did not play in the state of Virginia.
Oh, so number one movie in 49 states.
49 of the states.
Right. Asterisk.
In almost America. So, almost all of America.
Soul Food won in Virginia. It was, right. Yeah. Am I the only one that didn't love this movie?
Apparently so.
I
think it's because you got spoiled. Because you
maybe because that could
I think
be
that,
it.
That had to. I'm sure that had to do a lot with
also,
it.
I just thought
Sean,
it dragged.
Sean has only seen 2% of films
that's
that
true.
Were not in widescreen HD. So
no.
He's like, this looks so old.
This looks
why
funny.
Why won't it fit on my TV?
It did. I got the Google Play. They
no.
No, I thought I liked it. I think it is just barely good. I think.
Wow.
I think that. It had a great premise, and it had a good ending, and in the middle, they spun their wheels for 45 minutes.
I agree with you a little bit. It got a little... It seemed like they were introducing characters somewhere in the second act a couple times, and then they were gone. It was... It got
was
a
that,
little...
Who was the actor...
Got a little mushy.
Who was the actor? Was like, was he like the chief of police or something with the glasses? Like,
Brian Cox.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, Brian Cox.
He just kind of disappeared
why?
After
yeah.
a while.
Yeah.
See, that's
maybe
what I mean. There were a couple characters that they kind of made important. You know, Richard T. Jones, who played the dude Seth, like, he came in, like, out of nowhere. And like
Richard
built...
T. Jones looking 60 pounds thinner than I've seen him in
yeah,
anything
right.
else.
I did enjoy, like, the brief running plot point where Jeremy Piven tried to talk to Ashley
yes.
Judd, and every time she was just staring at him like,
that's another
this
example.
Asshole.
They introduce him also as a character, like, just he's going to kind of be our goofball. And
but
then gone.
Yeah,
that was
the,
a little unnecessary.
The,
did he
the
get
meandering a... portion was the Los Angeles portion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
They go to LA, some plot happens, and then they go back, and it's yes. like, okay, the movie's back now.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure we absolutely needed to go all the way to LA
right.
for
so.
Us to introduce the gentleman caller.
Right.
And for all that. And also, has Jeremy Piven gotten like a forehead reduction?
Oh.
Or something?
No, he clearly jokes like... about how he got hair plugs.
Okay.
Because now, I don't know if you guys know this, now Jeremy Piven, he
does
takes
stand-up
stages away from stand-up comedians. Anyway. Yeah.
And he's also
not
Me
upset
Too'd Up the
that.
Wazoo,
he's
right?
also Me Too.
Yeah.
Is Me Too'd Up the Wazoo, is that a weird thing to say?
I feel like That's kind of like...
Without, I mean, I'm glad you're the one who said it. Right, I'll say exactly. It. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, well, without getting into it, I hate that, that you know, stages are being taken away from stand-up comedians who behave themselves for actors who become stand-up comedians who've been Me Too'd. So
right.
That's my statement on that. Hi, we're doing fine over here. You don't have to give your fucking creepy hand-touching ass it's over like, to stand-up comedy.
I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, people are no longer hiring him. Is that what the thing is? And then so that's why he's like, I'm going to do stand-up now.
I figured he'd have some money.
Some entourage cash left.
Yeah, I mean, apparently it's something he's always wanted to do.
Okay.
Would you have liked to see the originally cast version of Kiss the Girls?
Denzel Washington.
Starring Denzel Washington and Gillian Anderson.
Totally fine.
Because,
with that.
Yeah.
Yes, I would have.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. Fine. 97 Denzel?
Although, listen, I would not have been able to handle Denzel Washington and Gillian Anderson not.
Not doing
romance.
It.
That's and he true. Won't, oh, yeah, he like has a deal with his wife where he won't
right.
do yeah. romance with white women in movies.
What?
Yeah.
Like white women specifically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he's gotten down with some ladies of color in film. But yeah, that's his thing. He doesn't. Because I think it was also, I've listened to a lot of, you know, Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of
it's
all time.
It's the best podcast ever. My old podcast basically was like, yeah, let's just rip that off.
Right. Yeah. And I think there was something about where he had this theory where anytime any one of Denzel's characters who had a relationship or a little bit of romance toward a white woman, something bad happened to his character.
Oh, interesting.
I can't say that that's for sure.
Anyway, it's an interesting position for him to take, and it's an interesting thing for him to do with his creative power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think he is right that they would be like, yeah, well, why would we ever hire a black actress? We don't need to.
Right.
And then he's like, no, please do.
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay. I had no idea what the motivation was until you said that.
Yeah.
So right. It's so that that Tamara Tooney gets cast in Flight.
Correct.
Yes. Right. Yes. She's in Pittsburgh.
Still
right
Valley.
Now.
She's a Pittsburgher.
She is a Pittsburgher. And
she went to my high school.
She's performing here right now for our Pittsburgh listeners, yeah. Which is about 60% of you, according to the analytics.
Sweet.
Tamara Tooney, an incredibly accomplished and talented actress, yes. Is at the Public Theater in The Tempest right now, and then is doing something next at the City Theater. She's just doing plays
Fantastic.
Here for like 3 months.
She?
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
I'm about to try
I love her.
Me too.
Let's rate Kiss the Girls since I brought up the whether or not everybody likes it thing. This is our segment called X-Rated. I just felt like segment names are nice.
I don't know why it's X-Rated, but follow your heart.
Let's go in reverse order of the order that we went in last time. I gave this movie a 52.
Ooh.
Like just
sheesh.
The tiniest hair into good.
Wow.
Just good. Just barely. I mean, I enjoyed the beginning and the end, and I didn't like it. Like, in the middle, I was reaching for my phone. Okay, so
fair enough.
That's what I got. Robin?
71.
71. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. Is that the highest score you've given?
It absolutely
has to be.
That's 8 points higher than Sharky's Revenge.
Oh, that's it.
Sharky's Machine.
Sharky's Machine. I keep saying Sharky's.
Sharky's Ice Machine.
Sharky's Choice.
Sharky's Choice. Yeah. Oh, wait. Can we please merge that movie?
Sharky has to decide which Hold cop on. Gets killed.
I request that...
He decides all of them.
I request that Robin and Frankly Scarlet please do Sharky's Choice
or just,
as a show.
Or just Photoshop the poster.
Yes,
either way.
I will happily write you a one-page sketch.
I want to see Frankly Scarlet do Sharky's Choice.
Talk to Abby and Liz. Oh
Camila, God, your score.
83.
Oh, very high.
Yes, nice.
83. That's a nine. That's like a 9 out of 10-ish.
Territory. I mean, I was really impressed by how much how well it held up.
A nine and not an eight.
Because 91 to 100 would be a 10.
So oh, that makes
81
sense.
To 90
Math.
Would be a 9.
Okay, cool.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was just really excited about how well it held up. And, and it just was, like, being 97, it was very little that was just screamed, like, this is a 90s movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I really
Except
love.
For the kickboxing.
The kickboxing.
Right.
The kickboxing
and Billy Blanks.
And I really love dramatic 90s camera angles where it's like a shot of an alarm clock and it's upside down and diagonal for no goddamn reason. That was fun.
Dutch and a half.
Yeah. And Aaron. Your score.
What did I give on the other movies?
you gave.
I was so prepared.
You gave Divergent an 11.
Yeah.
And you gave Sharky's Machine. Right, I wrote Sharky's Revenge on the screen. It's in my notes.
It says Sharky's Revenge.
You gave it a 77.
I got to change that. That's too high.
That's
now.
Too high.
I told you from the first. Okay. I'm going to give it an 81.
81.
Yeah, 81.
The final score on Kiss the Girls is a 71.75.
That's not bad.
So I nailed it, basically. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. And yes, that is currently our highest ranked movie. No, that's our highest ranked movie. Is Kiss the Girls.
We're going to do
we'll get better than that. We're going to get better.
Sooner or later, we're going to get one that's been an Oscar.
Speaking of the Oscars,
hello.
At Robin's suggestion, we're going to forego You Can't Handle the Truth and briefly give our Oscar thoughts. Robin, you and I talk about awards
constantly
because we're 10 times more interested than anyone else. My general opinion of this award season is it's boring.
Yeah,
it's boring award season.
Here's the thing. It's amazing that a year in which Black Panther could win the SAG Best Ensemble, something that exciting and unusual and just genuinely joyful, that could happen in this award season. And then we also have all the rest and it shakes out to a bad award season. That's a weird situation.
I've seen like 4 of the movies that are nominated for anything. And I'm just here. Fuck it. Does Black Panther take everything?
Yeah, there you go. The only thing, like, I think just Roma wins. I think Roma wins Best Picture, and I don't care.
Dude, I have not seen A Star is Born. I have not seen Roma or The Favorite. And I watched the trailer for Roma, like, am I in the mood to watch this tonight? You know, because you know, we want to catch up. And I watched the trailer, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good. Like, the trailer moved me.
Really?
Oh, well, then watch it.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, now I got to know what evening I'm ready for this.
Okay.
Because this looks like an epic.
I worry that Sean and I ruined Roma for each other.
Robin and I were the only two people in the theater at a Roma screening. And so we were just like, this shot's dumb. Why are we looking at this plane? What's going on? Like, we
watched it like old people.
Yeah. But.
What are you talking about?
But
the acting is great.
I thought it was slow.
There's some beautiful scenes.
Okay. There's some great scenes.
Overall, as a movie, it's not in my top 15 of the year.
But considering what it was nominated for and how many things he has won along the ways, I think it's definitely going to win Best Picture. I think Black Panther has a little chance with the preferential voting. I don't know.
I don't understand how preferential voting works. I feel like the fact that the woman who got nominated for Best Supporting Actress, Marina de Trevilla or something like that, as soon as that nomination came out, I'm like, oh, Roma wins Best Picture.
Yes.
Right.
Because she was not on anybody's list of contenders. And so that said to me, they love her a whole lot.
They love this movie so much.
They love the movie so much more than we figured.
I honestly was really surprised that Vice was nominated for Best Picture.
Me too.
I thought it was very, you know, I'm into the information that's in it. You know, I'm a big fan.
I mean, you praised it a lot in our first episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut you in right now.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm going to put a clip of you saying how much you liked Vice right now.
Vice was really good. I think we're going to see some serious Oscar nominations for this movie. Yeah, no, I did. I'm just very surprised that, like, I was like, that was a little muddy. It definitely was not as good as The Big Short.
You did say that. I think you also said it's going to get a lot of nominations. I'm not sure about Best Picture.
I don't know about Best Picture. I don't think so. I thought it was choppier than The Big Short. But and the story was a little wonky. But acting Oscars, someone might get one.
Glenn Close is definitely going to win.
Which I'm a little disappointed in. I feel like it's going to be a scent of a woman situation where it's like, what did Glenn Close finally win for, right?
Yeah.
I do think that her performance was very good. I think that she will give better. I hope she'll give better. But I'm happy for her. She deserves it.
Everyone wants Lady Gaga, right? That's what everyone
likes. To recap, Lady Gaga's still in the race because of me and me alone.
Yes.
Here's what happened.
In our last episode, we talked about you walking around in your office.
And deciding to vote for Lady Gaga. Yeah. That was, I think, the day of the awards. Yeah. Well, Glenn Close won the Golden Globe. Since then, Glenn Close has won the SAG Award. At the Critics' Choice Awards, Glenn Close and Lady Gaga tied. So when I walked around my office going, oh, I think I'm changing my vote to Lady Gaga, if I hadn't had that mental conversation with myself and had just voted for Glenn Close, Lady Gaga wouldn't have that award. Lady Gaga, you're welcome. I myself gave you an acting award. But the point is...
I hope this comes to her somehow. Yeah. Somehow.
The point is, the idea that she's in the race is really just me. Is really just that decision I made. Otherwise, Glenn Close would have won everything.
I want
everything.
You to have this.
Yeah,
right.
Thank you.
No, I'm excited.
I am all behind it.
And I will say...
suggest we get t-shirts. Made.
Yes, absolutely.
The one thing I really don't want is Mahershala Ali to win for Green
but
Book.
But he's gonna.
And
why don't you want that?
Because I, A, didn't like that movie, and B, didn't like him in it. And I feel like he just won for one of the best performances that I've seen in years. And it's like it taints feels it. Like it taints
it's
it.
It's like he's winning this for a TV movie.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yep.
So, I mean, I guess it's great. He can make his two Oscars kiss.
Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, yeah. He's a great actor. I guess I want him all. I want all the best for him.
Yeah.
But it just it weirdly feels like it retroactively taints.
Watch
his Oscar
True
for
Detective season
Moonlight.
Three.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh,
I would. I would be cool with Adam Driver winning Best Supporting Actor for.
He's very good.
I did not like Black Klansman, the movie in itself, but Adam Driver was fine.
I think my heart wants Sam Elliott to win.
I voted for Sam Elliott.
I mean, I voted for Sam Elliott, feeling like Mahershala was a little bit better, but not. After the Golden Globes, I didn't want to give any awards to Green Book, so I wouldn't vote for anything. Mm. Best Actor, I guess, is all of this... There's all of
Best
this.
Best Actor is the one that's the most wide open, I think.
There's been all of this...
I'm here for Rami.
Yeah, there's been all of this hype around Bohemian Rhapsody winning things that no one expected it to win. Does all of that just lead to he wins Best Actor?
Or does it lead to Fizzle?
Hmm.
Or does it lead to Bohemian Rhapsody actually winning Best Picture?
Which would be... quite the trip.
Yeah.
I really liked Bohemian Rhapsody, and I did not like a Queen fan or anything like that. I mean, I enjoy them. I appreciate what they did, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, I just like watching Rami fucking inhabit Freddie Mercury. I was just.
Yeah, I liked incredible. That movie. I thought it was kind of trashy. Mm. Like, it feels like a TV movie at times to me.
Yeah.
But his performance is. Like, you're right. He inhabits Freddie Mercury. Mm-hmm. That's what we normally give people Oscars for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm fine with him winning. The part where it's nominated for Best Picture and is winning Best Picture type awards, that is where I'm more like, wait, what's happening? Yeah.
It won the Editing Society's award. Right. It won Best Editing from the editors. And it's like
there's like that viral clip going around of that one conversation in the beginning as like an example of bad film editing.
Yeah.
So what's going on there?
No, I have no idea.
I think I read that the film editing thing is all about how they fit the music in and how they edited it through
I was
with
told,
the music
I
as a thread.
Yeah, that was fucking. Yeah. I was really in for that.
I'm
too.
A huge that, Queen
I went,
fan.
Afterwards, I went down and I went home and like downloaded a bunch of Queen.
Yeah,
just because like,
that was the. But that's the thing. The best thing about the movie was Queen music.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I liked it, but I don't get this when A Star Is Born is another feel good movie about music that
doesn't really make you feel that good at the end.
No, but you know what I mean. It's very like a nice emotional ride.
Right.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
I can't understand why Bohemian Rhapsody would ever get any award over A Star Is Born if those were the only two, with putting everything else aside.
Robin said the TV movie parts of that were clearly it's because the executive producers were Brian May and the drummer, the two band members.
Yeah.
So the parts that were so TV movie, you could see they were like, yeah, it happened like this, make it like this. And it's like, if it was the real story,
lies
this would have been better. Like when Freddie Mercury crawls on his hands and knees to beg you guys to do Live Aid.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, I did do a lot of like the reading. Like, you know what? I walked away thinking, I was like, I'm pretty sure, and again, not knowing any of it, I was like, I'm pretty sure half of this stuff was not true, fabricated.
Yeah, I want to believe that Freddie Mercury missed the music and he wanted to dig out of his kind of depression and, you know, but...
But the family stuff is part of the reason it's a feel-good movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, we're misfits. That is part of the reason people like this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Aaron, full stop. So what, you didn't like Suspiria? What the hell?
Oh, no, I was just going to bring that up.
Okay.
I did like Suspiria. I liked how they upped the horror.
Yeah.
You know, it stayed like kind of an art film, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was 30 minutes too long.
Correct.
Yeah, sure.
Tilda Swinton, I think, should have been talked about for an Oscar.
It is.
Because if you go into that and have no idea that she plays three characters.
Oh, wow.
I think it's their own fault. They made up an imaginary person. They didn't do enough press saying, hey, Tilda Swinton plays three characters.
Yes.
If they hadn't done that, I think that she would have been in the conversation.
Her as the head dance mistress was chilling and creepy, and I don't want her to teach me shit. Mm-hmm. And then, spoiler alert, as the doctor, you know, same kind of character in the original, like, played by... Udo Kerr.
Yeah.
Oh. I love Udo.
That creepy son of a bitch.
I love that dude.
Is he fucking creepy? But I mean, I was like, oh, she's playing an old German man. Like, this is perfect. It's unbelievable. Wow.
I think, and the reason I bring it up, no, I'm glad you enjoyed it. We texted for a second about it, and I thought maybe you didn't like it that
God
much.
Damn it. 30 minutes less, and it probably would have been one of my favorite horror movies in recent history.
Oh, it's this scale that we're going on right now. If I was doing this 1 to 100, Suspiria would get a 99. I loved it so much.
Wow.
And I know Sean well enough, and I'm like, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But this is the time, and this might impact my feelings on these awards generally. This is the one where I'm like, how do people not love this? Like, when I'm obsessed with Anomalisa as my number one movie of the year, I get I get why.
I wanted to punch him over and
I know.
Over.
But that one, I get why it isn't nominated for Best Picture. Yeah. This one, I don't know why it's not nominated for Best Picture. I don't know why Tilda Swinton isn't nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I don't know why hair and makeup isn't nominated. I don't know why cinematography isn't nominated.
I'm very surprised. Also, I love watching it now, being a huge fan of American Horror Story, and being like, oh, here's where Coven came from.
Are you still watching? Mm-hmm. I love Coven. Are you still watching American Horror Story?
I am, yeah.
I had to give up this last season.
So bad. Yeah. So bad.
The one with the right before it, I was fighting through it. Like I had to do a podcast
on it.
The
reality show one?
No, not the one where he plays like a bunch of different characters. They talk about Charlie Manson.
Oh, yes.
It was a cult. It was cult. Yeah, I had to do a podcast for it. Oh, my God.
It was rough. Yeah.
We got to roll out of here. It's time to draw the next film.
Yay.
Remember, everyone's vetoes, however many of them you want, I don't care anymore, are still in play.
Each episode we get an additional veto per calendar year.
Let's say two, but we'll see how 2019 goes, and then we'll reevaluate.
We're on a tight ship here, Sean.
The number.
I feel like we should all hold hands did we win the cheer competition?
The number is 586. 586.
Ooh, that's a little later.
586.
Hold on, the screen froze. The screen froze.
No!
I love the suspense of this. Oh, dear. I might veto it.
What is it?
One day, Tom Cruise decided he wanted to go to Japan.
No! No!
And they made The Last Samurai.
No!
I've never seen it, and it was nominated for an Oscar.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm on board with that.
Okay,
I remember seeing it in the theater, and this is not a case of, it's so bad that there's nothing to say. It's, I remember seeing it in the theater and being so bored then that I can't conceive of doing it again.
I was screaming no because I thought it was something else. I thought you were going to make me watch the stupid Vanilla Sky again.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Kill me. I thought it was Vanilla Sky. That's why I screamed in
brief. Just to remind the viewers or listeners, if we veto it, we have to do whatever comes up next.
Yeah.
Actually, I love military history, and it is actually there's a true story about this that's really fascinating.
Mm.
But Tom Cruised it to Tom Cruisey. You know what I mean? And like, I'm here to save all of you.
You want to veto this?
I'm gonna veto it. Yeah! It's the first veto. The first veto in show history.
Sound effect.
I'm with
I'm exercising my veto, man.
Which means that whatever film is at number 40,
I mean 40 on the list. Samurai is 40. Very watchable.
Oh, what is that, like 80s?
Oh boy.
Late 80s?
No, this is in alphabetical order.
Oh,
so it's probably a movie that begins with a number.
Oh.
It is The American. From 2010.
You son of a
Which
bitch.
One is that?
It's What's the
George
American?
Clooney.
That is so... I'm mad now.
It's
I said,
I've never seen it. It's
Sean, you pulled that veto too quick, bro.
Oh,
Samurai,
that one.
Last Samurai is a watchable movie, everyone. We just gave away a veto. I don't agree with that. This movie
the
sucks.
The American.
We're making this up as we go. Do you want to invent some third rule that lets us get to a third draw?
What's White Elephant Gift? can we steal some rules from White Elephant?
I mean, I feel like it is okay for us to have a veto chain.
If you want to continue vetoing.
I feel like
I mean, I would watch this because it's, I mean, it's under 2 hours.
It's also so boring that it's not. It's hard to even insult and rip on.
Really?
Like, it, yes.
Okay, so this is a pod. Now we're having a podcast team meeting.
Like, I can find some funny thing. There's definitely some now we're having, rippable things.
Now we're having a team meeting that's being recorded and put into the episode.
I'm fine.
Do we want to do away with the you must do the next thing rule, or can we chain vetoes until we're all out of vetoes?
Here's what it is.
Okay.
So you vetoed, you drew American.
Yeah.
What if the three of us get a chance, if we vote, that we can go to a next one? So the other three people get to veto the next choice.
Okay, here's what I'll say. I like what you said. If the three of you all vote no, gladiator style thumbs down, then we go to another one. This is the end of the chain, so we're not here all day. And it takes away one veto from one of you randomly. We'll figure that part out later. Yeah. It is three thumbs down.
Now we want to watch.
We're making podcast history of our own podcast. So, okay, can we all agree that now
this is it?
The next thing is it, and we have to watch it.
Yes, yes.
All right, the number is 298. It is. It got worse. I swear to God, you made it worse.
What is it?
It's Elysium from 2013.
Oh my God!
I am so mad right now.
I'd rather no. You know what?
No, we're done. No, that was it. You all agreed. You all agreed. We're watching Elysium. We're watching Elysium.
This is good because Divergent was still, even though we've done three episodes, still my favorite episode.
You guys have never heard the amount of rage that's going to come out of me next week.
See, this
Matt Damon stars.
This is perfect.
Alongside Jodie Foster and Charlton Copley in Neil Blomkamp's dramatically underwhelming follow-up to what was the first one? District 9.
It's his second movie about apartheid that has almost no black people in it.
Neil Blomkamp, they should have just gave him the Halo movie and left him alone.
It's Elysium, and we'll figure out what just happened and what all the rules are later.
A harsh lesson
this
today.
You're right. You were right. We learned a thing about vetoing. We should have stuck with Last Samurai.
Yeah.
It wasn't boring enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and American is just so boring, we can't even rip on it. Like, I can't even come up with comic. Do this at least. Oh, we're going to. Yes. Oh, this is going to be fun.
All right. God, Elysium. That's,
are you adding
that's
things
next.
As they come in?
Yes, I am.
Okay, oh,
so like, The Upside and Glass are on the list now.
Yeah. You know what?
What was the number one song in America when Kiss the Girls went to the top of the charts? Any initial guess?
So this is 1997, right?
1997.
Okay, whenever I think of 1997 number one songs, I think of Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton.
It's on the same channel and it's about at the same tempo, but no.
It's on the same as the Mariah Carey?
No.
Aaron? I will say, what's that slow jam by Usher?
That's a little early for Usher, isn't it?
I don't remember.
That's right on the edge.
Yeah.
97, I'll say 98 degrees.
I was thinking NSYNC tearing up my heart.
It is a vocal group.
Boys to Men?
Correct.
Ooh.
With
Mama?
No.
Boys to Men had a hit in 97?
What's their last hit?
Waterfall?
No, it is Four Seasons of Loneliness by Boys to Men.
I don't remember that
song.
What
is that even?
I don't remember it either. It's about as memorable as Kiss the Girls.
Hey.
Both of which are more memorable than Elysium, starring Matt Damon.
I remember how much I hate Elysium. Stay tuned, buddy.
All right.
Me too.
I never even bothered watching it.
We're going to have fun. Going to have fun next week.
Fucking Matt Damon.
M. Night, please stop your career.